back to St. Andrew Episcopal School's faculty-led podcast, Inspire and Innovate, a podcast for educators. We are somehow in our seventh season of the show, and this time we're shedding some light on teaching these days by taking a look at a series of often unspoken teacher life truths. The joys, the challenges, the absurdity of it all. What's it like teaching as an introvert versus extrovert? Is it possible to teach 80 kids a day and still feel lonely? How does the parent hat intersect with the teacher hat? Honest stories from our faculty at St. Andrew's to you, we present Teacher Truths. Let's get into it. Do you teach? Do you work at a school in any capacity? Did you happen to go to the school as a student that you now teach at? Do you have kids of your own? Do these offspring of yours attend or have they attended the same school that pays your paycheck? If you selected yes to just one of these questions, this episode is for you. But if you selected yes to more than one, well, this episode may hit some very familiar notes, and we wish you were invited on as a guest as well. Today, we explore the intersection of parenting and working as a school professional. Do the two roles inform each other, or do they cause more harm than good? Spoiler alert, I think the answer is yes to both. Today we've got a room full of mamas and a daddy, and I am so excited to get to the heart of this complicated tangle. I'm joined by host Taylor Davis and guests Anna Frame and Lee Krongeyer. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. So let's start by introducing ourselves, what we do at the school, and who we parent at home.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lee Krongeyer. I teach pre-K 3. And I'm the mama of Emily, who is in 10th grade, and then my junior in college daughter, who is an Alpha Omega from St. Andrews.
I am Taylor Davis. I teach pre-K 3. I have a pre-K 4-year-old, Fields, and a third grader, Mary Manning, and I also am an Alpha Omega graduate from St. Andrews.
I'm Anna Frame. I teach fourth grade, and I have a fourth grader this year, Sybil. I also have a second grader named Davis.
I can't wait to hear what it's like to have a kid in the grade, which Taylor just did as well, that you teach, because Aliana Rust, Anna, was very concerned about what Sybil would call you this year. Like, all summer we talked about it. It was a hot topic in the house, and she wanted to be in Sybil's class just to observe. Let me just ask for curious fans, what does Sybil call you in the classroom?
She calls me Mom, and we learned because a few years ago Susan Pace taught Penny, and they tried to go with Miss Pace, and it was just too weird. So I knew going into it that it wasn't going to work. So I'm Mom.
Thanks. We can just stop the episode now. That was my main question. And I'm Julie, and I work whole school academics, and I have a fourth grader and a seventh grader and a 10th grader. So that's like every division I have to read all the emails. That's what that means. So I get all three of those. It's a delight. It's a delight. Thank you, Blake, Shay, and Buck for this. So let's maybe start by like describing, I'm actually very curious to know, because I know all of you through work and you're also just excellent, fun, human friend type people. But what I don't see a lot is you like interacting with your kids. And I'm curious like what your persona is as mom. Maybe it's different for your different kids, different ages. And then like, I'm also curious about your teaching persona, which I've gotten to see a little bit of. And like, are those selves, do they feel similar? Do they feel different? That might be a fun way to start.
I think one thing for me, I always worried as a preschool teacher about having children and being a preschool teacher and like coming home being like, I am done with children. And I don't at all feel that. I feel like they're two really different things. I mean, I think I'm a nut at school and a nut with my children, but and that's why they are kind of expressive like I am. But I think in general, I'm pretty much, I guess I'm kind of the same across the board.
I think my persona is very similar too, like as a parent and a teacher. I think the girls would probably say that. I would like to point out that I have taught or am currently teaching every child, every person's children in this room, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
I know. That's pretty cool. I think it's me that was lucky. And currently very lucky. But yeah, I think I'm probably a lot like the person I am at home is a lot like the person I am at school. And that's a little bit of a nut too. Maybe it's a pre-K 3 thing. I don't know.
I need to know more about the nut flavors, or are they types of nuts, or are they brands? Like, what do you mean? When both of you say you're not, are you silly? Are you unstable? No, you're not unstable.
No.
What are you like? What do you like?
I think we both are silly, but I also like we're maybe a little impulsive. Like, we'll start a project that we shouldn't be starting in the middle, you know, and I do that at home as well. Like, you know, let's decorate the Christmas tree. Well, it's 10:30 at night. Yeah, it just that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think impulsivity maybe a little bit, but it plays well in pre-K 3 and in my home life, so that works.
Taylor, you second that? Same brand?
Yes, and I think too, I mean, with your class, like I parent my two children, I think differently, just because they're such different kids.
Yeah.
And so I let some things slide with my little boy that with my little girl, I wouldn't. I don't know if that's a good thing. It's probably not.
Just true talk. Only true talk on this podcast.
It's true. And I think too, with your groups, you know, you realize you can be relaxed in some areas, some years, and you have to be kind of more buttoned up about some areas. I think it just depends on who it is you're teaching, who it is you're parenting.
True. Mm-hmm. And maybe the birth order.
Yeah,
that's a whole other story.
Fascinating, yes.
Anna Frame, who are you?
I think I am a lot less fun as a mom than a teacher.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm still fun, but like I think I have the reputation of being like a fun, energetic teacher. I think definitely there have been moments this year where students have seen like the more like firm sides of me where, you know, it's just kind of some high expectations and they maybe are like, dang, Sybil, like, your mom is intense. But just with my kids, you know, we have fun, but I think some of it is maybe just the like, not my kid. You know, today we were practicing for Advent and Sybil was whispering to her little friend and I'm sitting there like doing this to her. Whereas, you know, I probably, if it were a student, let stuff slide a little bit more. But when I see my own child doing the behaviors at school, then I am going to say a little something to them.
So it was like the teacher look to your kid.
It was the teacher look to my kid.
It was literally the two were combined. Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. I also think none of us have talked about our partners, like our parenting partner people in our lives. But for me, I find almost the opposite, that I'm a more fun parent. And I'm not like not... Guys, I'm fun at work, right?
You are fun.
I'm totally fun at work. But I think I'm so much more type A at work. And you can even see it like in my house, which is like a disaster area. Like I just come home and I'm like, let's play. You know, like let's go to the park instead of the things we should. And I find a lot of it is, actually my husband's also very messy. It's not good. But he is much more sort of like, we're going to follow routines and we're going to follow the... And so then I feel like we kind of do this in a marriage too, is like you sort of like adjust how you are as a parent to be the other side of the other thing, right? So anyway, that's a whole other side to this. And so I think we were kind of pre-gaming before the podcast recording started, and I'm really excited about sort of storytelling, and that's sort of the goal of this little series anyway. And so I wonder if we could share either a story where your parent hat, having a parent hat and having a teacher hat has been like a gift or like something that's been helpful and informed what you do, or a time when it's been a challenge or maybe just something tricky to navigate.
I think that as my children have aged, that has become less and less of an issue. I think, and maybe it's because they are not in the same division. Mm-hmm. Emily's at the upper school now, and Grace Ellen is a graduate. So I think that has made it, when they were in pre-K 3 and 4, or even at, when they were at the lower school, it felt more like a conflict. It did to me. The thing that I will say, I think one thing it's made me be very aware of is, as a teacher, you don't want to take up another teacher's time more than your fair share. It makes you very conscientious about others. And I have to bring in a story. Josh, I currently teach Josh Brister's son, Rio, who is a blessing every day. And at parent-teacher conference, Josh was late because of he was actually held up in a conference of his own with a parent and
chatty
and
parent.
With a chatty parent. So he was very, very concerned that he was going to make me run late for my next conference. I actually think they left early because Josh was so concerned. So I do think it kind of makes you more aware of, you know, how important a teacher's time is when you are one.
That resonates so much with me.
Yeah.
What I'm curious, poll. We're gonna do a little poll. How many of us? I almost cannot even think of a time ever that I've reached out to a teacher, not just about worrying about their time, but I'm so constantly worried that they're going to think I'm like criticizing or questioning.
Oh, 100%.
Literally, something horrible would have to happen with Aliana Rust and Anna Frame's class for me to send her an email and be like, I'm concerned, tell me more. Like, even a very nice email. Like, I don't think I have, honestly, I've never. I don't think in my three kids now, I've been there for a while. Never once have I reached out to a teacher or division head with a concern or a complaint. So often in my job, I'm hearing about all the complaints coming from parents, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so many worse things have happened with my kids, and I would never, I don't know, I'm curious, is that true for all, are you all hypersensitive
about
that? Well,
and also, I don't want to, like, when I see Kim Sewell, I don't want to be like, how's feet? Like, I don't want to, I want to just talk to her about normal things and not make her think like, oh, here comes Taylor, she wants a parent-teacher conference, you know, like...
Because we know what that feels like.
Yes.
I skipped my parent-teacher conference.
Oh, yes!
Because I just was like, hey. Yeah, she was like, it's going to be one of those where I really don't have much to say. And I was like, I'm not coming.
I'm not going to waste your time.
But I said, when you write up the report, do not write, parent did not attend.
It sends a message.
You have to say that we at least had this little conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we have parent conferences, Andy, my husband, likes to talk and talk and talk. And I'm definitely, like, kicking him under the table. Like, we have to go. Our time is up. We cannot stay in here any longer.
I love that. I love that so much. True story. I have not gone to Xander or Lucy's for 2 years either. Same.
It's like, here, I'm going to give you this gift of 20 minutes.
It's also, again, the fact that, like, I am on North Campus, and I know these middle school and upper school teachers so well. Like, I just, and they do. I never would initiate it, but they often will be like, Lucy, this thing happened with Sand. Like, I will get all these nuggets that other teachers, I get it. These are not for me. I feel this way. Like, these parent-teacher conferences, they're not really for me. Not that they're bad to go to. I went to Aliana's.
Yeah.
Virtually. okay, more stories. Any more stories?
I think one thing, like for Anna, I know for myself, and I'm sure for you, it's like this community is, because we went to school here, it's like, you know, it's our supper club. It's our, it's just, you know, it's all things. It's the people we grew up with. It's our children's friends. It's, you know, and so you do kind of feel like, I started in Northwest Rankin. That's where I started teaching. And I would leave school and I wouldn't see anybody till Monday. And now it's like, I mean, my life is, and I love that. I mean, it's truly a treasure, but it's also kind of, you know, you also have moments where you're kind of like, well, you have to be on all the time because you know you're going to see a former student, a parent, somebody, you know, at any moment because they're, you know, this is my community. These are my people. And so that can be challenging, but it's also a beautiful thing, I think.
That's a good point. Like, football games are hard. like if you want to take your kids, because you know, you want to talk to all the parents of all the people you've ever taught, and birthday parties, you know, you can get into a parent-teacher conference real quick at a birthday party, and you're like, it's Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about this right now. I think, the balance of challenges and blessings, I definitely feel, and I think you do bring up a point. It'll probably lessen with the...
That's what I was going to... You don't have the same... The football games are definitely always, you know, kind of difficult, but it does change as they age. Y'all are kind of in the thick of it right now.
Yeah. Right now, like, especially with Sybil, because she's in fourth grade and I teach fourth grade, there are a lot of moments where, like, with the fourth grade play, the day of the parent performance, I was like, oh, I'm never going to actually see the play from the front.
Right.
And, you know, and sweet Shay was like, oh, my gosh, like, get out there. Let me do this. And I was like, no, because... The blessing is that I got to see it 1,000 times from the side.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like that is going to happen a lot with, like, Advent. The fourth grade's doing lessons and carols. And with May Day, which we all experience, like, you're never really fully present as a parent for those moments.
Mm. Right.
Because you're always thinking about your class and what's going on with them. So you're kind of missing out in a way for those big moments. You're not really just focused on your child. But then the benefit is you get to see all the practices. Like, you get to see it a lot more times than the other parents.
And the behind the scenes, all the fun things that happen and the hiccups and all that. You know about those things.
Mm-hmm.
But as they age, you do, you miss it a little bit, but it is easier. Yeah.
Lee, I remember... I don't know if you remember this conversation. Lee was so great when I was trying to figure out whether to take the job here. I was like texting her and I was like, what's it actually like? I think I was like, do you ever get pay increases? I don't remember. I had like a list of questions. And one of them was just like the experience of teaching at this. And I remember, I can find this text, I bet you said something to the extent of like, it is such a gift. Like, it is one of the most precious gifts to have taught at the same place. Like, and you said
absolutely
that with all of the sincerity, like truly. And I have found that in so many ways. And Anna Frame did amazing voice work for the fourth grade play. Just need to mention that here. And even so, and I think she's right, it has been the biggest gift. I was saying sort of as we were pre-gaming that, like, it is so complicated for me often because this moment of intersection when the kids are doing very normal kid complainy things, as they should, because we're their safe space,
right,
about the school. Maybe it's about a platform they're using. Maybe it's the way a teacher handled a situation. Maybe it's a way a peer is treating them. I hit one of those this year for the first time where I was like, should I say something? And of course, I never have. I didn't. And it was fine, right, at all. Usually, I feel like in general, if I'm asking myself, should I say something, just never say it. It's fine. They'll survive.
Right.
That's my rule of thumb. Anyway, it's worked out okay. But the problem is, every time they do that stuff, and I know I need to just be like a listening ear and a solid rock. What is it like? You know, don't become a wave in the storm with them. Like, they can have waves, but we need whatever, all those metaphors. But, like, often it's about my job. Like, it's about a thing I have failed. Like, I've been trying to, they don't know this, but maybe I've been trying to coach the teacher up in a particular area. Or maybe, literally, I was in a meeting talking about the negative effects of that platform and no one would get rid of it. Or maybe I was doing a focus group with students and I've already heard that complaint 6 times. And, you know, it's usually the points of conflict that are hardest for me is when I feel, like, in agreement or in, like, some version.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I need with my kids to sort of be like, keep pushing on, it's fine. But
right,
in my head, I'm like, you're right, that's the worst. I've tried to get rid of it, and I'm so futile, or whatever the scene is. So there was a particular, like, night when we had all come home from a trip to Memphis, and we were all very tired, and it began with Xander Russ crying about something, and then I moved to Lucy Russ crying about something, and then they were both things that I felt like were in my arena, so then I was crying, and Justin was like, great, this is my husband, right? He was like, this is what I was expecting, like, this is the general order of tears. Aliana interestingly, was great. So fourth grade, listen, she didn't. She generally just is whatever. And yeah, it's these moments of like, what you're saying is hitting me on three levels. And of course, the most ferocious level we have is parent, is, yes. I think, the mama level. It's kind of, I've written before, like kind of irrational or kind of, but I know myself well enough to know that. The hard part is then when I'm like, but that's my job. So that's like my biggest point of tension all the time, every time. And yet, I think it's so generative. Like, I do think it's important. And I do think it's helpful. It provokes a discomfort that I think lights a bit of a fire sometimes, right? And again, I'm always really thoughtful and careful about how I deal with that fire, right? Like, I would never then reach out to that teacher and be like, oh, or like find that kid and like,
sure.
But it informs this bigger picture. It's tricky. It's tricky.
So parenting is, you do so much of it with your heart. You have to have a lot of self-control. Like, as a teacher, your child is not being particularly generous to your child. You can't be mama bear at school. You know, it takes a lot of,
yeah, you know, because, like, that's what tough. Would that, but what would that do for your kid? Right. And this is what,
and
I
what
know
lesson
rationally,
are you teaching? Exactly.
Like, dude, you figuring out how to deal with the situation is everything. And right. So, yeah, this is the thing we know, but it's hard.
Ooh.
It is hard to feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have insights to these children too, because you've taught these children and you know their families and you know who they are. And
Yeah, that's right. It's like too many insights sometimes.
Too many insights.
I have heard other people talk about, yes, in 5,000 different contexts.
Yeah.
Oh, too much information.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I do feel like we have a cheat code for like what to talk to the kids about in the car on the way home.
That's
like,
fair.
Not other students, but just like, you know everything that happened. Like, you know there was a tornado drill that day, whereas other parents don't necessarily know that. So you can say, how was your tornado drill experience, you know?
Right.
Or wasn't that funny in the first grade play when Mary grabbed the baby by the head? And other parents don't have those little snapshots. So it's little things like that that really do make it feel extra special to get to be in the day-to-day of school with your children.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I had both of mine in Lee's class in 3-year-olds, and I was able to, and this is terrible, but Lee would just let me go in and wake them up from nap. And it was just the best. I mean, like, I would just pick them up and hold them. And I knew, I remember like last year at the end with Fields, and he's a great napper, and just holding him and thinking, he's not going to let me do this forever. And I'm like loving it so much. And just the joy watching them learn and like knowing what they did at school that day and then getting to come home and talk about it. And just the joy that they had. I've loved that.
Well, and that's maybe what you miss as they age too. It gets easier, but you also miss those, you know, moments that
you're not waking.
You're not. You don't.
Yeah.
What?
No.
Yeah, I don't. That I wouldn't. But Josh, if you want to come in and wake up Rio,
Lee is
in
fine
the afternoon,
with it.
I am quite all right with that. Rio is an excellent napper. Fields was an excellent napper.
Oh.
Rio tells me every time I ask him what his favorite day is, what his favorite thing at school is, he says nap time.
Listen.
Not at home.
Not at home. Interesting. Yeah, we are starting to run out of time. Are there any other stories or things you want to share about how being a mom informs your work at school or how working at school informs your work as a mom? I mean, one final thing I could say is I do think seeing things on a larger scale, seeing how hard teachers, and maybe it comes more from teaching and being a teacher in the past, but like, most of the time, even though I hear my children and I have the irrational whatever about whatever thing, I pretty much know that teacher is working so hard and trying so hard, and things are just so, I just know how hard it is. And so there's just that level, which has come up, I think, in a lot of things we've said, like there's that level of empathy and that level of knowing, like having, I've seen how it turns out when a parent swoops in.
Oh yeah.
And it's just not good. I've seen it in college with like parents of freshmen that would try to like email me all the time, and I'd be like, oh, that makes so much sense now. Why that kid is the way. So, like, I think that is, like, another beneficial little piece. Anything else from...
Yeah, well, that's it. I think you see things and you go, oh, goodness, this is not good for them. And it makes you check yourself in certain things.
Sure.
Yeah. So much of our professional development education for us as teachers, I use as a parent. And it's another one of those, like, cheat code things where I'm like, man, I have this unfair advantage. Because I get to hear from professionals about raising and teaching children and young adults all the time in my job. And so I get to also apply that at home and act like I know everything with my husband.
You don't understand. You don't understand. I do this every day.
It doesn't work for me somehow. I don't know why.
Same.
It's funny a little bit sometimes when, like, your kids get in trouble at school and you know about it. So Davis Frame was a biter.
Oh, keep this in.
And
this is good.
I remember, like, Lee just, like, very gently was like, hey, we've had a little incident.
A little bit of a problem. It was only with one specific person.
One, yes.
It was, yes.
And I marched right on up here and just, you know, kind of pulled him into another room, and we had a real good talk. And it is just one of the most precious conversations because he put his little hand on his mouth, and I'm asking him about what happened. Yes. And he goes, let me think.
He thought about it very, very hard.
You do get the opportunity to kind of swoop in as a parent in the moment sometimes when it's needed, which is another unfair advantage.
Well, all of your children have been a blessing to me. I've loved teaching every single one of them. I do have to tell this one little story. Sybil Frame was not an excellent napper. She was a very difficult napper, and we had to come up with a system of she got tickets. She got 3 tickets for potty time. And because she wanted to use the bathroom the whole nap time. So she got tickets every day, and she would, once she was out of her tickets to visit the potty, she was done. She couldn't go to the potty anymore. Now, nap is about 45 minutes long, so I don't think she was going to have any issues, but yeah, she got 3 tickets every day.
Yeah,
not the best napper.
Around.
I love that.
She figured it out, but I wasn't going in there and waking her up from any nap. There were no precious moments. There were no naps.
I'm sorry. This is also funny because Lee also has my niece, and she said I went in there the other day, and she had her feet in the sink, and she was washing them. Like, oh my gosh,
she was
very typical in-laws.
And I said, What are you doing? And she looked at me and said, washing my feet. Okay,
no other explanation needed.
Nothing else to say about that.
It's kind of like Jesus, right? Washing your own,
you know, in the sink. It wasn't my favorite moment, but yes.
Have taught everyone in the world is what I am learning.
Oh no.
This scenario. Okay, I have one final story too, inspired by Anna's story about biting, which is, you know, my kids haven't gotten in huge troubles, right? But there have been little hints throughout that one of my children, who shall remain nameless, maybe talks a little too much from time to time, which, knowing that child of mine, was not surprising because I know that child of mine. No gender shall be revealed. Can I do this? I might mess up. So essentially, I would have conversations with this child. This child would sort of very much be like, oh no, I would never. Here's the scenario of why the teacher might have said that, but like, never would I ever. And again, I was skeptical because I knew this child. Well, this fabulous thing happened, which is called a student-led conference. And I just love student-led conferences in middle school. They're just so great. And in this student-led conference, this child of mine was sort of like pitted, right? Because the teacher's there and the parents there. And the kid is like standing up. I mean, this was like a serious standing up in front of a Google slideshow in which you like talk about yourself and reflect on. Oh. And in that moment, all the truth came out because, you know, you can't tell two stories to what. And there was just some very honest self-reflection. And sometimes I kind of get distracted and I care a lot about my friends. And I was just like, this is see the magic of the. So that's right. Did I do well? Did I never disclose which child?
Never.
No.
You never.
I don't even know if it was a girl or a boy.
You don't know if it's a girl or boy. Mm-mm. No one else knows. Mm-mm. Final words, final source.
I've got a guess, but I'm going to leave it alone. I've got a guess. Yes, I figured that's yes.
Do we have any daddies in the show that might want to just jump on a microphone and say anything? Inspired by, I just feel like you're holding in a lot of stories that you could share.
I don't have any stories.
Or just a thing.
I feel like the only thing that I would say is that being a parent has changed me as a teacher because it made me reflect on how I want the teacher of my son. Whoa!
I'm sorry.
I was leaving it up.
That y'all,
okay, I wanna
they're
say
IKEA.
It.
I'm so sorry. They're IKEA.
And that's the end of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It has been
thank
fantastic.
You.
Have a great day.
John, no.
You stayed on your finish the whole time.
So,
that was amazing.
It has made me like really be conscious of how I want the teacher to see me as a parent. And it really gave me a lot of perspective on how I should be a teacher and how I should be thinking about how parents perceive us and the relationships that we have. Because before, like, I didn't really care that much about my relationships with parents. I mean, I did if there was a problem, but I tried not to care too much. But now, like, I see how important of a relationship it is. And we're so lucky to have you as a teacher.
Oh, gosh, no. I'm the lucky one. I think you also, as when you have children and you're teaching, you give parents grace because you know how hard it is, how their job is,
yeah.
Because you're doing it too. I was much more black and white as a teacher before kids. And then once I had children, I was there was a lot of gray area. Oh, they didn't get their socks and shoes. Oh, my goodness. Well, we know it's hard to get out the door in the morning. And, yeah, so my
understanding. And potty training. I know for me.
Things.
Because in three-year-olds, we've been so hard on it and that for so many years. And then I had children who were not. And then I was changing them at school all the time. And I was like, thank goodness I'm a teacher here because they would be sent home for these things. And it changed my mind. Like, because I don't want to pull a parent out, you know, if I feel like it's a real problem, yes, we, you know, go with the policy, but if they're just, you know, if it's something we're struggling with, I'm going to work with you because I know how I, you know, once you've been through something firsthand. And two, another thing on the upside, like report cards. I think for me, once I had children, what I recognized was the importance of writing comments that made parents know I know their child,
yes.
Giving them a little story or something, because it means so much to me when I read something and I go, they get him, you know, even if they're saying things that, you know, BAM, beginning, meeting, approaching, even if he's, you know, beginning, I get it. I know, oh, okay, he is beginning on this or she is. But anyway, I think that's definitely, it made my report card comments more authentic.
That is such a good point. And there has been this shift in middle and upper school to have these like official comments. They're called, I don't remember what they're called different things in different divisions. And it's been a lot of extra work for teachers, of course, right? This idea of added work, Josh Brister, others. And what I notice is, and I think there's always good points to be made about equity and labor and how much teachers are working. But I do notice that the loudest sort of folks that are concerned about the time it takes are folks usually that don't have kids. I mean,
yes.
I really do think there's a little switch in your brain where you're like, even me who works at this school, when I read a comment that's really specific to my kid now, I'm like, oh, you know my kid.
It makes a huge difference.
And I haven't really heard most of the parents say quite as much. So that's fascinating. But I mean, I love how you brought us back to grace. We began actually talking about how, because we're mama teachers, we treat teachers of our children with grace, but it's absolutely the opposite way as well, because we treat parents with grace.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't think Aliana's shoes are still in the proper uniform code. I think they're purple still. There's a purple line. I need to get Aliana new. So I feel guilty about that. I'm going to work on that. Christmas break.
But I'm like, who cares?
But also, do we care?
Yes.
Yes. Uniform.
I don't.
Uniform. But do y'all ever forget, though, that you have children at this school? Like, do you forget about?
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I'm supposed to go to this thing 100%. Because my child attends this school, like this coffee for this
or
grade
sign
level.
Up for parties. Because I'm like, that's not my job because people bring things to my class for my party.
Right. But then you get to crash all their parties real quick and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
You just pop in.
Annie Elliott, my office neighbor, may or may not have had to call me last week when I was at a mentor program thing, and she was like, oh, I think Xander's in your office. Like, I think you forgot to pick up one of your... It was fine. He was great. Justin was at wrestling practice.
Mm-hmm. He probably liked it.
It was 6
Xander was fine.
Sorry. Mom, fail. We should do a whole episode on our fails. That would be fun.
That'd be 3 hours.
Y'all, thank you so much for sharing your hearts, your mama hearts, your teacher hearts, your dad hearts.
Thank you for calling me the host, even though you 100% hosted.
You are totally the host. Taylor is the host with the most.
Right.
This is your room we're in.
It is, yes.
This is your chair we just broke.
Yes, true.
But there are no drinks or snacks.
That's true. I would like to complain.
That was
kind of
sad.
Sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.